Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We are continuing our discussion of some of the things that we saw while we were in Turkey and in Israel, and how seeing a lot of these places, you can't help but just have your faith strengthened, knowing that the Bible talks about real people and real events. And as you've heard me say many times, that's my big struggle with the Book of Mormon, is it really does not do that. You have to take the people and the stories in the Book of Mormon by faith. And basically, it all goes back to one man, Joseph Smith. It all goes back to him. We were talking about some of the places that we've seen. We were talking yesterday about Ephesus and how it's mentioned many times in the New Testament. We find in the book of Acts, chapter 19. But today we're going to be talking about another place that's mentioned in the Bible several times, and that is Caesarea. Caesarea was incredible because it's right on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. I mean, it's a beautiful place. You can understand why Herod would want to build a place there. Now, Herod is an incredible person. You're fascinated by Herod. Mm-hmm. You throughout the whole trip, were doing nothing but talking about how the great things that Herod built. Now, Herod was no doubt a scumbag. There's no doubt about that.
Well,
you know, but he was incredible when it came to building structures.
Well, let's just say he was a madman. I mean, he killed his wives and children. His first wife, Miriam, he kills her, and then he wants her back again. And they had to tell him, no, you killed her. And he says, oh, shoot. And he killed those kids from that marriage because they were competitors to him. This guy was lunatic. In fact, when he was about to die, he gathered a Jewish people together, and when he was going to die, he wanted them killed so that they might not cry for me, but they'll cry for them.
He wanted mourners.
He wanted people who would cry for the tragedy that was to take place, because he knew that he wasn't a well-loved person. In fact, Augustus once said something about him that I find to be fascinating. He said, it would be better to be Herod's pig than to be his son. And it's a play on words, because the word for pig is hus, and the word for son is huios. And so very close in nature. But it just really showed you that this guy was crazy. But while he was a crazy man, he was a genius when it came to building. And there are a number of places you can visit today when you go to Israel, and you can see what he actually did. In fact, let me just name some of the places. We went to the Herodium. We can talk a little bit about that. The Herodium was a monument to himself. Masada. There's no evidence he ever got to Masada, but he built a palace on three levels there. Incredible engineering feat.
That's what really kind of blew my mind, is the fact that he builds this huge place in this most out-of-the-way area, in one of the most difficult places to build anything, and there's no evidence that he even went there.
Yeah. I mean, he builds a palace at Jericho that was way ahead of his time. He built the temple. And in fact, it wasn't even finished by the time he died, of course, and it went on for many years. But he was responsible for setting that in motion and rebuilding the Temple Mount so that he could rebuild the temple. He was trying to be a friend of the Jews, and so he wanted to make them happy.
Definitely a politician.
Oh, he knew how to handle himself there. But he did build Caesarea as a monument to the greatness of Rome. And he wanted Caesarea to compete with Rome by all the things that he built there.
And we might mention that this is Caesarea Maritima. This is not Caesarea Philippi, which is in the northern part of the country. You might confuse that because it sounds very similar, but this is what's located right on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. There's a big, huge hippodrome still there, mm-hmm. where they used to race the horses and such. Yep. And you can still see parts of the man-made harbor that Herod had. And why is that interesting? Because when it talks about Paul sailing into Caesarea, well, that would make perfect sense. There was a harbor there.
Yeah, in Acts chapter 18, verse 22, when he landed at Caesarea, he had left Ephesus, he went up to Jerusalem and greeted the church. Well, I mean, if somebody who would say, Caesarea, there's no harbor there. There's no natural harbor. But he learned how to take volcanic ash and make concrete in the water. Way ahead of his time as far as architecture goes, as far as building.
Well, at Caesarea is where they found an inscription. Now, here's another case we talked about earlier, how there was no real evidence for King David outside of the Bible until they found in the mid-1990s, they found a stela that actually mentions the house of David, giving proof that David was a real person. The same is true for Pilate. There was no real evidence outside of the Bible that we know of that proves that he was a real person. But in Caesarea, they found this inscription. It has the word Tiberius on it, and it also has the word Pilate on it.
Yeah, let me tell you a little bit about that. In 1962, it was discovered, and before then, we had no archaeological evidence besides the history books, because he is talked about in the history books by Josephus and others. But before then, nothing with Pontius Pilate's name on it. And what they found underneath the theater, a stone that was originally part of the temple. The temple was Herod's temple. He built it in honor of Roma, the goddess of Roman Augustus. And they had reused one of the paving stones that he had his name on and put it in the theater. And that was rediscovered, like I said. And you had mentioned what it said. It said, Pontius Pilate, prefect of Judea, has dedicated to the people of Caesarea temple in honor of Tiberius. And we need to understand Pontius Pilate was ruling in Judea from 26 to 36 AD, and Tiberius was the emperor 14 and 37. So this is something that Pontius Pilate did. He put together this inscription to say it's in honor of Caesarea, which is Caesar. You know, it's Caesar's town, if you want to call it that. We talked about you drooling over the Tel Dan inscription. Boy, when we come to the section in the Israeli Museum that has the original, it's the stone that was actually we're talking about right now, and there it is, and there's no glass between you and it.
You could touch it. I mean, it was right
there. You're not
there. Supposed to touch it. I didn't touch it, but you could.
It's right there, and there it is for everybody to see, evidence that there really was Pontius Pilate. And before 1962, critics could have said, how do we know there was such a man named Pontius Pilate? Well, here we have evidence there really was a man named Pontius Pilate.
Getting back to Caesarea, when we look at the book of Acts, we find it mentioned several times. In fact, in Acts chapter 10, it says, at Caesarea there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of what was known as the Italian cohort, a devout man who feared God with all his household, gave alms generously to the people, and prayed continually to God. This is where Cornelius actually was converted. This is the area. It has biblical significance. And again, this is what I want to emphasize, folks. When I was there, I could not help but think how much nothing the Mormons have when it comes to the archaeology of the Book of Mormon. And as we've mentioned before, the Mormon Church can't even agree as to where the Book of Mormon lands are located. They can't even get a general area of where the Book of Mormon lands are located. Now, the most famous one, I think the one that's probably the most predominant theory, is what's known as the limited geography theory. A lot of your BYU professors hold to this, which places the Book of Mormon lands down in a portion of Central America because they want to be able to use those pyramids, you know, from those older civilizations and try to make that fit. And certainly, I know of no Mesoamerican experts that will pit the two together, that they don't put the two together.
Well, one of my favorite stories with Caesarea is found in Acts chapter 12. And talk about evidence. We got to sit in this theater. Yesterday, we talked about sitting in the theater of Ephesus in Acts chapter 19. Well, in Acts chapter 12, Herod was there. He had been having problems with the people of Tyre and Sidon. And so he goes into the theater on the appointed day wearing his royal robes, according to Acts 12:21, and he delivered public address to the people. They shouted, "This is the voice of a God, not of a man." Immediately, because Herod did not give praise to God, an angel of the Lord struck him down, and he was eaten by worms and died. And I want you to understand, Josephus talked about that very incident and said that He ended up dying 5 days later, but reports on the very historical fact that Herod died after this episode at the theater because he accepted the acclaim of man rather than trying to glorify God. Herod Agrippa I paid for his mistake with his life. God struck him down, and how that was with worms. It could have been trichinosis worm. I mean, he was a good Jew on the outside, but inside he was a two-faced ruler. He broke the law all the time. A dietary law he did not follow, even though he called himself a Jew. Here we have that story, and there we were in the theater. Even though it's been rebuilt, all the archaeologists would very clearly say that 100% was where the theater was, the evidence
it's
given.
It's a beautiful theater, but shamefully, though, it's facing the Mediterranean, and most of those theaters, they had a big, huge backdrop over the stage, which I have to assume probably would have blocked the view of those who had the good seats down near the bottom. Maybe you could see the sea from the upper seats.
Maybe that's why you want the cheap seats on that. On
that might have been a theater where you did want the cheap seats. That's where Eric probably would have sat, and only if he got it at a discount.
With a coupon.
With a coupon from a scalper outside the VOM.
but can you imagine? I mean, this theater and these other sites, the aqueduct that brought water into the city, all of that has been excavated, very clearly showing us that Caesarea wasn't just a made-up little town talked about in Acts four or five different occasions, but it was a real place, and real events took place there. And that, to me, that it sends a shiver up my spine to think about I'm standing and sitting and walking in the same area that the Bible is describing when we read it.
So I ask our Mormon friends who might be listening, what do you have that compares to that? What do you have that can compare to any of these places that are mentioned in the Bible? You have to take all your places by faith. We don't. Now, a Mormon might say, well, that just proves that our faith is better because God's testing us. Now, I don't think God has to do that. I don't think on some of these things he has to test us. And I'm glad that he didn't. I'm really glad that he didn't. I do take a lot of things by faith, but not when it comes to things like this. We'll talk about this more tomorrow.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. This Saturday, March 23rd, a Compassionate Boldness Symposium will be taking place at Shadow Mountain Church in West Jordan, Utah, beginning at 9 a.m. Topics include the Book of Mormon, the Godhead, and salvation. MRM's Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson will lay out the teachings of Mormonism and show the differences with biblical Christianity. This four-hour event is free and open to the public, so plan to join us this Saturday at Shadow Mountain Church, located just off Old Bingham Highway at 9324 South and 5600 West in West Jordan. At Mormonism Research Ministry, we're committed to equipping Christian believers to effectively share their faith with their Mormon friends and loved ones. That's why we produce Viewpoint on Mormonism, as well as operate our website, mrm.org, where you can find a wealth of information on this topic. We also have books and downloadable MP3s available online. In addition, we invite you to join in on the conversation at our blog site called Mormon Coffee. We want to be your resource for helping you better share the Christian faith.